Another story of political wheeling and dealing now, this one in Libya. As Libya begins to create its new government, Islamist groups in the country have said they will not allow secular politicians to exclude or marginalize them in the post-Gaddafi era. Alan Little, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, has this report on whether Islamism and democracy can sit side by side in this new Libya.
Libya's political Islamists are free to organize now, but in the new freedom they have to appeal to public opinion. At this city center mosque, hundreds of devout men gather to pray. But although Libyans may be deeply religious, they show little or no appetite for Islamic government.
Libya is always moderate Muslims. We don't have any extremists. Nobody going to control it again, like Gaddafi or any military people. It will be a civilians. Not to worry about my beard. No, any extremists, they have. This is not the place for it.
Ask people here about Islamism, and it seems to puzzle them that you should even put the question. For the idea that mosque and state belong to separate realms seems so deeply rooted here that it's almost taken for granted. Tripoli is returning to normal. In the narrow covered streets of its marketplace, one woman told me that there was no support here for radical Islam.
We are Muslims, but we are moderate by nature. We cannot accept extremism. We are well educated. We know what we're doing. We want our Islamic culture, but not an Islamic state.
Something remarkable and rather hopeful is happening here. People are free for the first time in decades to make political demands. A genuinely pluralistic national dialogue is emerging, in which Islamists are just one of many voices competing for public legitimacy. Hanna El-Galal is a Western-educated human rights activist who joined the revolution in Benghazi right at the start. She says Islamists are in a positive dialogue with non-Islamists in Libya, seeking compromise, coming into the democratic mainstream.
Religion is very important in all people's life. I mean, we are a Muslim country. Well, usually the Libyans are moderate.
So you're not worried that an Islamist party could take root here that would be anti-democratic?
Personally, I'm not. I've been talking with everybody. We've been sharing ideas. We've been taking advices from each other. We've been running in this revolution together. There will be lots of discussions on some issues, but I believe that we will reach compromises. We cannot ask anybody in Libya to go for a Western state. We don't want that.
At the reopened U.S. Embassy in Tripoli, the Stars and Stripes is hoisted from the flagpole. Libya's revolutionaries have good reason to thank the US, Britain and France. Everywhere in Tripoli there is pro-Western graffiti. But how will America and its allies deal with a democratic Libyan government that might well include people who were once anti-Western jihadists? The US ambassador, Gene Kretz, says Libya, if the transition to democracy is successful, might force the West to re-examine some of its assumptions about the Islamic world.
If there is an Islamist voice here, and if it is a moderate one, and if it shows a face of Islam to the West that may have the wrong vision of what an Islamist element in a government can be, then perhaps we should take another look at the models that we have been using in the past.
That dispatch from Alan Little, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Libya.